It's John chapter 20 and verses 24 to 30, and the passage is entitled Jesus Appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So we pass over and look forward to listening to Mark sharing the word now.
Greetings, everyone. Apologies for my lockdown beard, which I'm becoming quite attached to. I trust everyone at CCE is well. Claire and I send you all our greetings. It's a privilege to talk to you today about the death and resurrection of Jesus. There are some stories where we know the ending. The story is known to us and we can talk about them with certainty about how they're going to turn out. The boy gets the girl, the brave win the fight, and all the false starts and the snags are ironed out on the way. Our son David is studying New Testament Greek at the moment, just for fun, and he's making some pretty good progress. Recently, he said that the story of the prodigal son is interesting because although it says the father shows compassion or pity on his son, he runs towards him, and you don't know until the very last word what he will do. Beat him, put him out of his misery, or kiss him. And sometimes we miss the important details because, well, we think we know how the story ends. The same can be said of the death and resurrection of Jesus. I and Christians around the world believe that Jesus lived and he died and he rose again. Fact. But many people question even this. Again, we know the story, but we don't think about it very hard. Cynics and doubters say that because not all the accounts of the story are exactly the same and some were only told years later, they can't be trusted. But is that true? We listen to the news and read the papers. Sometimes we even read books later about events that happened. They're rarely exactly the same because they're told by different people, but they share the same basic information. No sane person questions that there's a pandemic that's killed more than 50,000 people in the UK. But many disagree about what we should do about it. Many people as old as me remember the 1966 World Cup final and the winning goal. Some of us have got better recall than others, but most remember the bit we keep seeing on TV. They think it's all over. It is now. People don't completely agree what happened at the Manchester bombing or the Grenfell Tower fires. So what can we be sure of? Well, I love Roman history. I have read lots of books about it and stories, and I want you to consider the date, January the 11th, 49 BC, one of the most famous dates in the history of ancient Rome and probably of the ancient world. On that day, Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon, committing himself and his followers to civil war. Few, if any, historians doubt that Caesar did indeed cross the river. However, if the skeptics who claim that the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are myths and have no basis in historical fact applied the same standards to Julius Caesar, there would be no crossing of the Rubicon. It would be dismissed as the stuff of legend and unworthy of historical stature. And why is that true? Because as the historian Paul Merkley pointed out 3 decades ago in his article, The Gospels as Historical Testimony, there's less historical evidence for the crossing of the Rubicon than there is for the events in the Gospels. And he said, there's no first-hand testimonies to Caesar having crossed the Rubicon, wherever it was. Caesar himself makes no mention of it in his memoirs of crossing any river. 4 historians belonging to the next century do mention the Rubicon River and claim that Caesar crossed it. Paterculus, Plutarch, Suetonius, and Appian are all much later and depend on a single supposed eyewitness account that it somehow has disappeared without a trace. And no manuscript copies up for any of the secondary sources can be found earlier than a few hundred years after their composition. Crossing the Rubicon makes for a good story, but it is probably just that, a story. And we teach it as facts in our schools. In a similar way, Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg and started the Reformation, except he didn't. He sent a letter. It doesn't make for such a good story, and it's not what most people think. Anyone who's taken part in Alpha has seen and heard the second session where Professor Alistair McGrath tells us that we have more than 5,000 Greek, 10,000 Latin copies of the New Testament, written between the 30 years and 310 years after the event, plus another 9,300 versions written in other languages. The earliest copy of Caesar's Gallic Wars in existence is 900 years after he wrote it, and there's only about 9 or 10 copies of those that exist in the whole world. Most skeptics about the historical reliability of the Gospels reject them as myths. They do it without regard for historical evidence. The gospel story of Jesus' life and death is not just a bunch of insiders who have personal reasons to believe. Jewish historians and Roman historians recorded his life and death, as well as the authors of the New Testament. So when we come to the death of Jesus, we can be sure that he died. The Romans were ruthless killers. They knew how to execute people. They were thorough and their techniques had improved over time. They left nothing to chance. If you're interested in the evidence, The Case for Christ is a great film showing how a reporter in America investigated the gospel story and found the evidence compelling. In John 19:31, when the Jewish leaders asked the bodies to be taken down from the cross because they didn't want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, Pilate ordered the legs to be broken and the bodies taken down. Now, they broke the legs of the 2 criminals, which result in their death very quickly because they wouldn't be able to lift themselves up to breathe. When they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead, so they didn't bother to break his legs. But instead, they left nothing to chance and they plunged a spear into his side, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. He was dead. In fact, the detail of the blood and water would later be understood by doctors because the victims of crucifixion basically drown as their lungs fill with water. The gospel record is proved accurate many hundreds of years later. The Romans were efficient, ruthless killers, and they knew how to execute people. Jesus really died. But did Jesus live again? Did Jesus rise from the dead? The dead stay dead, so people are pretty sceptical. Thomas, we heard in John 20, was sceptical. He wasn't in the room when Jesus appeared to the other disciples. We need to trust the testimony of the people telling the story, or we doubt it. Thomas is called the doubter because we know how the story goes. But is his position so strange? Wouldn't we want direct proof as well? Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands in his side. I will not believe. A week later, when Jesus appears to them all, Jesus says to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Thomas believed because he'd seen and touched. But Jesus replied to him, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who haven't seen and have yet believed. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, Peter, the disciples, and then the disciples with Thomas. Jesus met with a few disciples and fishermen and ate fish with them on a beach. He met with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and then 500 followers, then James, and then finally Paul, all to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews. This is the problem with miracles, though. You only believe them when you experience them personally. The next person doesn't necessarily take your word for it. They want to see it for themselves. They want to see just like Thomas did. But God is not a performer for our enjoyment. We see the stars and believe they exist, even though we don't fully understand the distances and sizes involved. We feel the rain and we understand how it works, but sometimes we wonder just how much rain can still be falling hours later. Aren't the clouds empty yet? We don't go to the stars to know that they're true. They're not just holes in a black sheet above us. We know the earth is round and we're spinning at 1,000 miles per hour, even though we can't quite see that it's round from where we are, and we don't feel giddy. We have the trusted evidence of people who saw Jesus alive after his death. These same people changed their lives and died telling their story. You don't die for a lie. All of the apostles died and believed they had seen Jesus alive after his death. No one changed their story, even years afterwards. Their lives changed. They changed other people's lives too. In Thessalonica, people said, these people who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. They were causing trouble all around the world, according to the enemies, by defying Caesar and saying Jesus is king. We've already seen how brutal the Romans were. We don't live a lie and die for it. We know what would happen, and it did. The followers of Jesus, including many who had never seen Jesus after his death, including many who came to faith after his death and resurrection, they were willing to die for what they believed. Changed people, changed lives. And it's interesting how the story is told. The gospel tells us that Mary saw Jesus risen from the dead. But back then, the testimony of women wasn't to be trusted. If you're trying to convince people by making up a story, we're off to a bad start. It reminds me of the Nativity. The shepherds were another group who have thought to be so unreliable, poor, uneducated, and from the lowest part of society, that their testimony wasn't accepted in court. If we're trying to make up a story, Why include the bits that invite doubt on its truthfulness? In both the birth and the resurrection of Jesus, there are spectacular miracles which a few saw. And then they told others, just like us. The question is, are we going to believe the story? Do we know it to be true? When Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, it says Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we need the Holy Spirit to believe. Elsewhere in John, before his death, Jesus says, "But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Even if we see something truly miraculous, eventually we start to wonder if it really happened. We want to see it again. We need to be reminded, or the memory dims. Our friends may doubt us. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He brings us peace. He prompts us, reminds us, comforts us. He brings us assurance and convicts us. This is the good news. When we want to know the truth of Jesus' death and resurrection, we only need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us the truth and convict us, convince us of the salvation that Jesus brings. Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again to rescue us, to give us life, hope, and purpose. Jesus came to bring us life, peace with God, and life in all its fullness. Good news to all people. I want to close with a prayer we say most days from the Lectio 365 app from 24/7 prayer. Let's pray. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen.